Your recording has started. You may now begin.
Thank you very much, Missy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Cross-Community Working Group on New GTLD Auction Proceeds on the 26th of January 2017. In the interest of time today, we're not going to do a roll call. We're simply going to take attendance via those present in the AC room. So if you are connected via audio only, so via your telephone line, please let yourselves be known now. Hearing none, I'd like to take a few extra moments to give a few housekeeping rules. So as you're aware, the statuses in this working group are members, participants, and observers. So members and participants only are expected to join the conference calls. That's why you are receiving meeting invitations via the NTFY mailing list as opposed to the public discussion mailing list. So please do not circulate these dial-in details to any other lists or individuals, as they are fairly confidential on a closed archive for members and participants only. If you do have any questions regarding this, you can always email the secretariat at gnso-secs@icann.org, and I'll put that mailing list in the chat immediately. For those of you who are on the call, thank you so much for joining. Please remember that you can connect in two manners to the call. You can use the Adobe Connect audio. So you would connect your audio by clicking on the telephone icon at the top of the toolbar and following the instructions from there. If you are successful, a telephone will transform into a microphone icon. You must always remember to mute, however, your microphones. I can see that a few of you have done that in the attendance list already. Thank you. But please remember to do so every single time you stop talking. If you are presenting or anticipating you speaking on this call, please use the telephone line as an option, as it's a lot more stable connection compared to the Adobe Connect Room audio. And always, staff is in the call to help you, so please don't hesitate to private chat us if you have any questions. And with that, thank you ever so much, and over to you, Jonathan and Ching.
Thanks, Natalie. Welcome, everyone. It's Jonathan Robinson welcoming you to our first meeting of this cross-community working group to deal with the new GTLD auction proceeds. We've got a 60-minute call today, so I expect we'll have to be reasonably efficient. We're going to talk mostly about practicalities and mechanics of how we work, and so it'll be interesting to discuss those with you and hear any inputs. On the call, as Natalie said, you've got myself as the GNSO appointed co-chair, and Ching Chao as the CCNSO appointed co-chair. Ching will further introduce himself as will I make a few comments when we talk about the membership appointments and the chairs in item three under the agenda. So this group is already looking like it's getting to be a good size, and it will be, as you've heard and know, comprised of members, participants, and observers. I think it would be great to do a round of introductions, but I think we'll probably have to wait until we have an opportunity to get to know one another through participation in the group, and hopefully with many of you at least via some kind of in-person meeting at the next ICANN meeting. That said, if anyone has got any difficulties in particular, if you haven't participated in a group before, feel free to make use of contacting staff or asking a question as we proceed by simply raising your hand in the Connect room. There are various tools and features. I'm sure we've got a complete range of expertise on the call in terms of dealing with this kind of virtual meeting room. My experience of it is that it's an excellent way to collaborate and work together, but if you are unfamiliar with it, it may take a meeting or two to get fully up to speed. But certainly if you want to contribute now in this meeting, the most important thing you need to know is up in the top left-hand corner of your screen is an icon with a sort of human torso and a hand raised, and you can just click that to raise your hand and you'll be put in the queue to speak, at which point you need to unmute your microphone on your telephone or in the Adobe Connect room and contribute as you need to. I think we'll go straight in then to I'll make some more remarks about the nature and type of the participants and the various items there as we go through. I think it'd be useful to hear from staff and understand which staff are involved and who's involved from a staffing point of view, so it's clear to everyone. We also will have one or two liaisons from the ICANN board, and a welcome and introduction from whichever of those is here. I see Asha is here, so I'm sure Asha will want to introduce herself, and we can talk a little bit about staff and board roles and make sure that the CEWG is comfortable with those and understands those. So why don't I hand to perhaps Marika or Natalie to just give you a quick introduction as to who from staff is on here, and if anyone from either the staff or the board would like to make any specific introductions, feel free to raise your hand and make yourself known to the group and the sort of purpose or function of your involvement.
So, hi, Jonathan. This is Marika. I'm happy to introduce myself. So, my name is Marika Konings. I'm a senior policy director and team lead for the GENA. So, I'll be the main staff support for this CCWG together with my colleagues, Joke Brake, who comes from the CCNSO, and Natalie and her colleagues from the SOAC support team. In addition to that, you'll also have on the call Samantha Eisner, who has raised her hand, so I'm sure she'll introduce herself. And there may be in the future as well some other colleagues that join these meetings, especially in regard to the support that they provide to the board members that participate in this effort. And so I hope that's helpful. And as you said, you know, of course, if anyone has any questions, you can always reach out to us. You'll see on a regular basis emails coming from our addresses and as notice as well. Any questions or any requests for dialogues or apologies should always be sent to gnso-sex@icann.org. Thank you.
Thanks, Marika. Welcome to you and your ICANN staff colleagues. We'll very much welcome the opportunity to work with you and look forward to your professional support of the work of this group. So with that, let me hand over then to Asha, who's got her hand up, and then following that, Sam. Go ahead, Asha.
Thank you, Jonathan. Can you hear me?
Yes, hearing you loud and clear. Thanks.
Thank you. So I'm happy to introduce myself as well. My name is Asha Hemrajani. I'm based in Singapore. I'm a member of the board of directors for ICANN. And as you mentioned, Jonathan, I'm one of two board liaisons to the CCWG. The other one is Becky Burr. I'm currently chair of the board finance committee, and I'm also currently a member of the board governance committee. I was also the board liaison to the to the drafting team for the charter of the CCWG. I'm here primarily because the board does have fiduciary responsibilities, and so we are here as a liaison. We're here to work with and act as a go-between and understand better the concerns of the team so that we can work better. Thank you.
Thanks, Sasha, and I welcome your highlighting that sort of unique aspect, because in any event, with a group like this, as we've developed this CWG working, it's recognized that it could, in any case, be valuable to have board liaisons and a direct line of communication and interaction with the board. And then there is a unique dimension, as you put clearly there, of the board's responsibilities in terms of the financial component of ultimately of this work, and so there's a unique dimension here, and it's very welcome to have you, and especially both in your capacity as a director and as chair of the board finance committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Asha. Okay, go ahead, Sam Eisner.
Thanks, Jonathan. Hi, my name is Samantha Eisner. I'm Deputy General Counsel in ICANN's Legal Department. I worked closely with the drafting team along with Xavier Calvez, ICANN's Chief Financial Officer, in helping to draft some guidance on the legal and financial and fiduciary restrictions around the disbursement of the auction funds. And so I'm continuing here in that role and serving that same line of helping to work with the group as well as with the board and our internal team to make sure that we're taking it into account those legal and fiduciary constraints as the working group continues through its work. You'll also see on here Lauren Allison. She works closely with Sally Costerton in the Development and Public Responsibility Department, and that is the group that within ICANN right now has been working most closely on the auction fund proceeds issue, and so she's assisting internally from that aspect. So you'll see her on the call. Her audio is not connected today.
Thank you, Sam. And I think it's probably worth highlighting, those of you who have diligently read the charter of this group will, I'm pretty sure, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a link through to the note that was prepared on sort of legal and fiduciary issues that guided some of the work of the charter. And one of the objectives of the chartering group was to keep the work very tight and not stray into the work of this group, which is by definition going to be much broader and more comprehensive. But nevertheless, in order to prepare the charter properly, we had to know and understand what the ultimate legal and fiduciary constraints of this group would be. So I'd strongly encourage anyone to read that, both as a matter of sort of general interest, but obviously specifically in informing you relating to the work of this group. And I've no doubt that we'll call on Sam and others for input at one or more points in the future as we start to work and as we bump up against the particular issues that are involved here. So I think the important thing to recognize is that in some ways, with all of this CWG work, we often break new or adjacent to new ground, and in this case, working not only closely with staff as facilitators, which is the policy staff, but also as informers and guidance with the work of Sam and also the work with the board. So members of the CWG need to be comfortable with that, need to be aware that there will be a degree of influence from that, and need to be comfortable that that's the sort of appropriate level of influence and work through any concerns or issues as and when they may arise. Personally, I think we can work effectively together, and I think it's frankly going to be a very interesting group to work in and work through as we develop something which is particularly important and of high value both financially and practically to the broadest ICANN community. So in terms of the sort of high-level principles of operation, many of you will be familiar with this, and I apologize to those of you who are very familiar with the work of the CWGs, but you know, we have I'll just make a few remarks, and again, if there's a need for further information for those of you who are less experienced with it, we can find ways of assisting with that, both in terms of the real down-to-earth practicalities of working within this framework and this format, as well as some of the rules of engagement. We really don't want to leave anyone behind or leave you out. So if you have concerns about your participation and your ability to participate based on technology, language, or anything else, please do make it known, and we'll do our best to be as inclusive as possible. This group will be coordinated and facilitated by more than one co-chair. I am, as I said at the outset, the GNSO appointed co-chair. Ching Chao is the interim co-chair appointed by the CCNSO, and it may well be that the other chartering organizations that are participating in this group may put forward one or more additional co-chairs. So the co-chairs will be responsible for working closely together, for preparing for the meetings. So, for example, we had a preparation meeting ahead of this to sketch out the agenda and be sure what we wanted to achieve, to then go forward and chair and facilitate the meeting, to make sure that we work closely with staff and, of course, one another, and to think about communication within the group and external communication. I'm sure there's some other responsibilities that I've left out, but just a sort of high-level view of those. The CWGs will work together. We should work together as a collaborative unit. I'm sure we'll come up against some areas where there's either minor or strong differences of opinion, and we'll have to work through those or view. And we'll have to exercise discipline both practically and emotionally as we work through those. We have members, participants, and observers. The members, of course, are appointed by their chartering organizations. The participants are for almost the entire part indistinguishable from members, save for that if we do have to put something to a vote, which the co-chairs will work to avoid, our objective is to work by consensus and try and get the group to form appropriate levels of consensus around the key issues. But that is the critical distinction between the members and participants. In some of the recent CWGs that I've either been involved in chairing or working within, I'm not aware of votes having taken place perhaps at all. And then there's a key distinction. We have this concept of observers, and the idea behind the observers is that they can literally do that. They can follow the proceedings of the group but are not permitted to actively participate. There's not a lot you have to do to cross the threshold between being an observer and a participant, but you will be required to both put a statement of interest out and a declaration of interest. The declaration of interest is unique to this group and something that the chartering group felt strongly about, and I guess we can touch on that a little more when we review the charter in item 4. But the important point there was that there was an overarching sense that the concept of conflict of interest will be pertinent to this group and anything that comes out of this group to a greater and greater extent as we get closer to the point of dealing with the money. I just remind you, and again we'll touch on this, that the purpose of this group is not to deal with the money per se, but to deal with the mechanism to manage those auction monies. But nevertheless, it was felt strongly that not only was a normal statement of interest required, but also a declaration of interest. The difference being that with a statement of interest, you lay out your own position within the ICANN community, and with a declaration of interest, you make it known as to whether or not you have any intention of ultimately applying for or participating in the application for or use of the proceedings, the money that comes out of all of this. So those are the sort of key points, I think, that needed to be made there. There is a webinar that's been prepared, and I think a link may be either available or will be available to you to assist with any sort of mechanics of working with the tools and practicalities of working on a CWG. So I think that deals with item number 2. Are there any questions or issues that throws up? Anyone confused or uncertain, or should I just crack on through the agenda? If you do have anything, please raise your hand. I'll be keeping a constant eye on the Adobe, and I'm sure Ching is as well, and will give me a virtual nudge if I'm missing anyone. But so please do raise any points if you need to. Daniel, I see your hand is up. Go ahead. Hi, Daniel. We don't hear you yet, so perhaps your microphone is on mute or you haven't switched on your audio within Adobe Connect. Try again, and we'll give it a moment. Daniel, I'll give you the opportunity to activate your microphone, and I'll move on. And if you could drop your hand and then re-raise it once you think you've got the audio working. And if you do have continuous problems, feel free to type any remarks into the chat in the lower left-hand corner. Okay, so item 3 deals with just a quick update on the membership and the appointments of the chairs. Each organization was given the opportunity, each chartering organization, to nominate up to 5 members, which may include a co-chair. The GNSO put forward 4 members, plus myself as co-chair, and the CCNSO has put forward its members, plus Ching as co-chair, and we are still awaiting, I think, final appointments from the ASO, the ALAC, and the GAC, although to the best of my knowledge, all have confirmed their participation, but have not yet confirmed in all cases the members and whether or not they propose to appoint a co-chair. Ching, let me go hand over to you to provide a little bit more background from CCNSO and your perspective.
Well, thank you, Jonathan, and thanks for the staff also for a good preparation of the work, not only for this group, but for the last, at least for 2 years, on drafting the chapters and, you know, reaching out to various chartering organizations. So just a little bit of background for my role here. So CTNSO Council so appointed me as a quote-unquote interim co-chair for the time being, I mean, simply because the council feels that in general we are dealing with a large sum of money, which we would like to have a flexibility of, you know, to access, to participate, but also to have a kind of a review mechanism within the CCNSO Council, and as well as in the CCN TOD community, about how do we best participate in this very, I mean, important and impactful job that could, I mean, ultimately change the landscape of ICANN. So we, in the last council call, we did come to a decision that I would serve as a interim co-chair, and then the council itself will revisit this its decision in the ICANN 59 in Johannesburg, whether we would officially appoint a co-chair to this group, whether it would be myself or other candidates to serve this group. We will reserve that particular rights to make a further call on our, you know, the participation. So I would like to give you a sense of how and why CCNSO make such decision. And probably you, some of the participants here in the group have already known that in the beginning is the CCNSO, once again, because this pretty much the auction proceed is actually generated from the GTOD, the GNSO community. So we think that this this was a out of scope question when we had the initial discussion when the drafting team was preparing the charter, and then after a few rounds of the iteration and further thinkings, in particular Becky and Chris brought in some very useful points on whether in general is whether the CCTLD operator can make a positive impact to the outcome of this working group. And we feel in general that this should be very useful, given many of the CCTOD, they also manage large and small funds to develop cross sectors, an educational or marketing campaign to it's either in their own individual markets or elsewhere. So we feel that many of the CCTOD can participate in its work. So in the later part of last year, in 2016, then the council decided that we send three members, including myself, Peter and Matteo. So three of us as the appointed member of CCNSO, and decided to join officially with the group. So we look forward to our contribution and also to engage with other SO and ACs. So perhaps let me stop here for the time being, and but I just want to give everybody a sense of the status of CCNSO's participation. So thanks.
Thank you, Ching, and that's helpful to get that update. And thanks to Daniel for your question in the chat. I think it's been answered in the chat, but actually there may be some food for thought for myself or others looking at that concept of good standing as per the link you sent. So, and thanks, James, has highlighted the sort of expected standards of behavior. So that'll be interesting to look at that concept of an active participant and what that means. But currently, as to the best of my knowledge, no such concept exists or applies in this particular case. So we now have an opportunity to spend not too long, but I would try and say about 10 minutes on the charter, and then perhaps look at some more detail under items 5 and 6 on how we might work going forward. I'm mindful this is a relatively short call, and the purpose of which is primarily to get us up and moving with key practicalities and a common grounding. So let's get the slides up and have a quick look at the slides dealing with the charter and capture the main or key concepts. Hopefully you have all seen it, and this is more of a refresher. If it is forming an introduction to the charter for you, great, but please do go ahead and look at it properly and independently. So you'll see from the slides that we have here, we've got the charter divided into a number of different sections, a problem statement, goals and objectives, going on then to the deliverables and reporting, how the membership, staffing and organization will work, and the rules of engagement. Actually things that we've started to touch on as we talked a few moments ago. One thing I should highlight is that in working with some of the other more recent previous CWGs, we developed a concept of writing up and capturing key points and notes from the work as we did it. And you'll see in the right-hand portion of your screen where the notes are being compiled by someone who's clearly doing a competent job. I don't know who's actually doing that live at the moment, but I appreciate it, and I'm sure others will. But it gives you an opportunity to recap on the call without necessarily going back to the full transcript. I have confirmation it was Marika, I suspected so, and so that's great. And so that can be useful as perhaps a shorthand. I mean, the sort of legal warning, if you like, is that ultimately you should rely on the transcript and the recording, but the notes provide a very useful aid memoir for what went on in the call. Good. So let me move us on to the next slide then, where we deal in more detail on slide 4 with the key sort of objectives. And critical on this, and we're going to have to remind ourselves as we go through this, that our purpose is to work on a mechanism or process for how to allocate the new GTLD auction proceeds, not to allocate those funds. And so there's quite clear and effective scoping of the work of this group, and that will include things the scope of the fund allocation, but in the constraints of preserving ICANN's particular tax status. And if you like, so two of those overarching constraints or parameters that were set out at the very beginning were this issue of making sure we work within ICANN's tax status boundaries, and also making sure that we apply the most effective and give clear thought at all times to potential or actual conflicts of interest. I mean, I should highlight that there's even a further test that you can apply, which we don't put in this charter, but there's even the test of perceived. So it's actual perspective, and you could even put the perceived where someone else might think that you have a conflict of interest. But as far as the charter is concerned, we highlight potential or actual. So the CWG will not make recommendations, as I said, with respect to specific funding decisions, but is rather concerned with the mechanism or processes. There's a set of guiding principles, and you'll see at the bottom that these apply both in the work we do as well as the final recommendations. In other words, they're sort of overarching principles, if you like, and they focus on what you might expect, transparency, accountability, and so on. But also thinking about things like being lean and effective and making sure that we don't build in overcomplicated or, I'm sure implicit in that is costly mechanisms. the conflict of interest comes up again, and disclosure and avoiding conflict. There was a strong feeling in the chartering group about making sure we thought very carefully and were aware at all times of diversity issues. And I should say, there are a number of members that participate in the chartering group, and if I gloss over something or you feel it's inadequately or ineffectively covered, please do make yourself known. I'm conscious that I'm covering a lot of ground here, but at the same time, I don't want people to be bored, those that have already dealt with this charter in some detail. So we just need to get the balance right between setting the ground rules for everyone and making sure we're on a common starting point without unduly repeating things that others are well aware of. Of course, in slide 6, you see the constraints that we face, that the allocation will need to be done, ultimate allocation in a way that's not inconsistent with ICANN's mission. This is something that CWG will have to think about and make some recommendations on, how to make sure that there is appropriate alignment with ICANN's mission. And you should be aware that this is an interesting point that some may not be aware of, that in the end, ICANN, these funds are with ICANN, and it's ICANN's view that it will maintain ultimate responsibility for confirmation of those disbursements. So notwithstanding the mechanism put in place and the recommended outcomes of that mechanism to ultimately disperse the funds, ICANN will be literally signing the checks and signing off on those disbursements. And then again, you see the reference to ICANN's tax-exempt status and conflict of interest. And that the administration component of this will need to come out of the auction proceeds. There won't be additional monies put in place to put some kind of infrastructure or administration on top of this. Or both the administration and support and funds themselves will need to come out of the same pot, the auction fund. So, key questions to be answered, and here you go into a little more detail rather than just calling it a mechanism. It's what framework, structure, process, or partnership. I mean, there's the concept that this could be done in conjunction, sort of semi-outsourced or worked with a third party, and looking at various elements like the limitations, safeguards, time frame, key components that need to be thought about we work through this. Again, the legal and fiduciary constraints, the conflict of interest provisions. And here's an interesting one, item 6, whether there's a particular priority or preference given to, say, for argument's sake, organizations from, or for example, developing economies, underrepresented regions or groups. So that's something the group will need to give consideration to, whether there's any kind of weighting or preference there. Are we going to rely on ICANN to oversee this, or are we going to work with another entity to oversee the proposals ultimately, as you know, within that mechanism? What's relevant as an overhead? You know, what's reasonable if 5% of the funds got used to manage their allocation, or 50%? What's reasonable, normal, acceptable? And I mean, this is one example where we may well want to get both outside input as to what the norms are. In other words, it would be interesting to hear from another organization that deals with this same kind of task what they would think is a reasonable level of overhead. And, of course, overhead as a percentage doesn't necessarily apply to all sizes of monies, but they may say, you know, so that will be very interesting to get that kind of input. Of course, the overall governance aspect, I think 10 may be as a surprise to some, but it's certainly a key point to consider and is in the charter and expected of this group to think about. To what extent could ICANN or a constituent part of ICANN be the beneficiary of some of the auction funds? So could the ICANN board apply for these funds? Could these be applied for by some portion of the ICANN organization? So that creates some interesting thoughts and possibilities there. And then how do we deal with reviewing this and potentially later adjusting the framework? One of the things we have done sometimes as a community is we set something up and we do one of two things. We either review it, seems like, too regularly or too often, or we don't review it enough and come back and reshape or iterate what we've done. So that's a key question being asked in item 11. And then thinking about the deliverables and reporting, what will be required? Well, first step, we've got to set out a clear work plan and make sure that sets out a schedule and thinks very much what the route map of this work might be. It's difficult at the outset, but it's important so it doesn't just be some kind of open-ended process. We'll be required to produce an initial report. Got an open microphone. If someone could just be aware, if you could just mute your microphone, check it are muted. And ultimately a final report, which will then need to go to the board. And the board's given some commitments as to how it will deal with this, and some of that's reported on in the charter, so that's to the ICANN board. It'll need to go to the board following its adoption by the chartering organizations, and reporting along the way, of course, via the co-chairs to the chartering organizations. Just checking the chat and making sure that... and there's some good points and questions already raised around what, you know, people are clearly starting to think about what these mean. And again, the charter was tried to be as effective as possible, but as minimalist as possible. The key objective of the chartering group was not to take away from where the real so-called heavy lifting or work was done, which will be in this group. So I think that's a sort of whistle-stop tour of the charter. You'll be familiar. We've talked about the membership, participants, and observers, so I won't go over that, but please refresh it yourselves if you want to on the slides themselves. Key points on rules of engagement, how we'll work, developing the work plan, chair's requirement to make consensus calls, and thinking about the types of consensus, whether it's full consensus or consensus. Noting the discussion around item 10 already, that's something which we'll all want to think about and feel, you know, that's a key point, and that was put into the charter with deliberate intent that the group thought carefully about whether or not these funds could be used and or applied for by ICANN organizations. And then your decision-making process has the final output, which is obviously a little way off by now, but goes to the chartering organizations. The chartering organizations potentially adopt it, put it to the ICANN board, and then the board is committed to either accept the output or enter into a constructive dialogue if it cannot accept the output for whatever reason. And clearly the most obvious reason, if the board felt that it impacted its ability or conflicted with its ability to execute on its fiduciary or legal obligations. Great, so there's your links. You know, you've got your real background right back to when we started this work on the discussion paper, all of the transcripts and recordings that go from it, and please do as much as you can to be familiar with the background material, both because it will be useful in empowering you to participate effectively in the group, but also because it will ensure that we don't need to go over old ground or repeat things that have been previously dealt with unless it's necessary and appropriate for the work of this group. So there's been some good chat, and so that's useful in the chat area, just covering elements of the charter. If you do feel you need to make something known on audio, please do. The chat is part of the record, so it is also covered. And having done that tour of the charter, I think we can go on then to, unless there are comments or questions, and I'll keep an eye out for raised hands, as will Ching and staff, I'm sure. But if not, we'll move on to item 5. And now this is interesting because at this point we start to think about what information or preparation is needed to start developing the work plan. Clearly, this comprehensive preamble about membership, participation, statements of interest, charter and so on is all the relevant groundwork. But also, we need to think about what, if any, the sort of briefings and input this group might need. So, for example, we could ask ICANN Legal to not only provide us with that previous paper they did, but perhaps come to the next meeting or one of the future meetings and give us a presentation of those key facts as to what they believe the constraints are so that we can understand those and buy into those as appropriate. It could come from further from the board liaisons or much broader from various bits of expertise, and we'll need to think about that carefully. So really that's the sort of thing we'll the work that will need to be done initially is what sort of work needs to be done prior to starting the work, what preparations or input need to be done, and what other inputs will we need during the course of the work, and then thirdly, what expertise is available within the group. And one thing we talked about on the preparation call is the possibility of surveying this group and understanding what level of expertise there is there. So if anyone has any, I see Ching and Alan have both put their hands up and I'll come to them now, but if anyone else has any initial thoughts as to where we get expertise or how we understand what expertise is available to us within the group and what order we might need to do that in order to set a really good foundation for the future work of this group, by all means, raise your hand and raise those points. Okay, Ching, over to you. Come in.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. I think you and also in the chat, some people pointed out about the the constraints for the group. I just one thought actually popped out in my head is that when we talked about the legal requirement for the fund and also the structure that ICANN might be bounded or I'm obligated to, we might also probably add some thoughts probably at this stage is that whether it's only a U.S.-centric legal requirement or are we thinking beyond whether the fund is only being administrated being used or being expensed, simply from a U.S. nonprofit point of view, or is this group are actually thinking or even down the road building a mechanism of a more globalized, diverse fund that's potentially work, just along with the, different ICANN engagement centers or ICANN hubs or even regional organizations in different regions. So that could bring in, so if that's the element that the group initially are considering, then that could bring in a different level of complexity, for the work in terms of legal and other relevant, preparation or consideration. So, given the thought that I don't want to, at this first few calls, don't want to, complicated things as you mentioned that, in this group would like to have a more simplified approach, for the usage of fund. But I think it's worthy to, throw these thoughts to the wall and see how people just to react. But and also it's probably for the interest of the members from the CC community of how they really can be engaged with the fund at the global scale. So I would like to put that thought in at this moment. Thanks.
Thanks, Ching. Interesting thoughts and some key points there about sort of ultimately about how effectively global this mechanism will be. Let me go straight to Alan. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Before I make my comment, I'd like to respond to Ching very quickly. He seemed to give an either-or. I think it's both. I think what we're aiming at is very much a global operation that certainly funds things globally, and to what extent the allocation process is global, it will certainly involve global participation, but, you know, is it stationed in the U.S. or in Singapore? Interesting questions. In terms of laws, we may well be subject to laws in various places for various reasons, but it's the U.S. tax status that we're trying to protect, because ICANN is a U.S. organization. So I think we're doing all of those, not just one or the other. The point I wanted to raise is I think something we probably need early on is one or more briefings from people who do this as a matter of their regular jobs. There's a lot of experience in the world in giving out money for good things. There are, you know, national development agencies. There are an unknown number of big foundations that give out money. And how they do that, what their best practices are to make sure their money is being effectively used, I think is something that we need to understand. Some people in this group have some experience. Some probably have lots of experience. So the briefings may come from within ourselves. But there are also probably people in this group who have never been involved in this kind of process. And I think we need to get everyone up to speed. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. A couple of comments from the chair on that. And I think that's a really good point. If anyone does have skills or expertise that they feel could be usefully, other than during their course as a normal working group member, that they'll be able to contribute, if they feel that they would like to actually present something or introduce a third party that could present something, please make that known to the group, and then the co-chairs or together with whoever suggesting that, we can work on how to bring that expertise to the group, because I think Alan's correct. We need as much external expertise or specialist expertise in order that we design mechanisms and processes without reinventing the wheel. Alan, you said one thing, it was a small detail, but I think it's important. You described ICANN as a U.S. organization, and I think you meant U.S. corporation. It's quite clearly a global organization, but the issue is the corporate structure, which is a U.S. California not-for-profit, and that's the constraint. And I have no doubt you meant that, but I'll just clarify it so it's on the record. James Gannon, go ahead, James.
Thanks, Jonathan. I just want to both agree and disagree with Alan. So I fully agree that, you know, we do need to get that expertise in fund management and, you know, in disbursement of nonprofit funds. That is definitely something that I think we will probably be lacking in this group. And I specifically think we're going to lack in it for a specific reason. I would have no doubt that we will have people in this group that are used to managing funds of $1, $5, $10 million. But this is on an entirely different scale. You know, you have to consider we are dealing with potentially up to $250 million, which is a fund of a different type. And also that will then bring additional tax and finance legal complications. So, you know, I fully trust that Sam and her team at ICANN Legal are able to define the constraints that we operate under. But I do think we will also possibly need some expert financial legal advice on what is the best way to do this, in the most efficient, and, you know, that we get the most out of the fund that is there. So that's an additional piece of expertise that I think we need, in addition to that, you know, large-scale fund management experience that, you know, we may get a briefing on, or we may know people who do manage funds of that size. But I would be very surprised if we found that type of scale of fund management within the ICANN community.
Thanks, James. So actually, that's a really good point. And there's lots of helpful suggestions coming in the chat. And it feels to me like what we should do is be looking to pool that and pull together some form of list of prospective input. Because in some ways, we need a series of inputs before we even formulate the work and the work plan. I feel like we need the sort of background information as part of that. But to me, it feels like the first step of the work plan is to take a series of structured inputs. And just to remind some of you, I mean, one of the offers of input was from Peter from .be, and we did, as part of the very early stage of this work, get some input from, I think, three different CCTLDs who themselves had used excess monies that they had generated through the normal course of operations and put those into some form of charitable or other funding activities. And either indirectly from hearing those or directly from some of my own experience, I know that they went through some learning curves of key issues. So I think the sooner we can get that kind of expert input started, that would be a key part of the sort of forming the basis for our work. So that's useful to get all those offers in the chat, and I think we can pull together a list and then perhaps start to prioritize that. So that I'd encourage that as a first output of this conversation, is to start to build together a list of prospective inputters or people giving expertise, and then we can start to invite and get that expertise in as part of, you know, that valuable content that sets the foundation for our work. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yes, thanks. I joined by phone. I hope it's better.
We hear you now, Daniel. You good audio. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. So I had a couple of question comments. My first question is on the procedure that we should use to comment on those 11 questions to be answered as a working group participant. Is the best way to take the list and give our opinion by email, or is there a tool to track everybody's opinion that we could use? That's my first question. And then the second comment I have to do is, like, it looks to me that there is two sides of this working group. One is the understanding the legal, organizational constraints and how to best create something, whether it's within ICANN or outside of ICANN, that is going to be the grant organization, basically. That's one part of the equation, which I think require an expertise that we probably, I don't know, I mean, there are many people in the group, but I don't have, you know, I worked creating a couple of associations and foundations, but I can claim that I have this expertise. And then there is another side of the work, which is really, I think, the meat of these working groups, to reflect on the scope of the funding grant organization itself, what constraint is going to have in terms of funding what project, what amount, what sort of scope, and that kind of thing. And so I think those two sort of different type of work should move in parallel. And I'm wondering if we should have task force, or if it's the same group working on those two tasks when they are done in parallel and require sort of different expertise. So those are my two questions.
Thanks, Daniel. I won't presume to answer them completely, but I think those are some good and interesting input. I certainly would not be surprised. I expect this group's going to swell to quite a decent size, and so I hope we will be able to take advantage of the skills and capabilities and size of the group to separate things out into task forces. As a very initial stage, my suggestion is that we create two documents to start to work from and with, and one will be a table of expertise that people can populate and provide input either via email to the working group list, in which case staff can assist us with putting that into the document, and I expect we can create a document online that can be edited from the group as well, and we start to create something with a form of table that creates a proposer, expertise, perhaps a little motivation, two or three or four columns that deal with that, bringing expertise into the group. And the second is, on those 11 charter questions, we can start to create some ad hoc or initial thoughts on that as prior to we build the sort of structure of the working group and start to break these off into task forces. But in order to capture the initial enthusiasm and the opportunity to provide input, I suggest we do that as well and start to create some recorded input there. So those might be two practical points. Daniel, your hand is up, so if I could ask you to lower your hand following that point. And I'm mindful of time. We're coming towards the top of the hour. So it's very evident that there's lots to be done and lots to be talked about. But I think I'm conscious of the fact that we said this would be a 60-minute call. And so I'm going to try and wrap it up with a couple of points here. But before doing so, I'll defer to Marika's hand in the chat, in the hand up. Go ahead, Marika.
Thanks, Jonathan. Just a very practical question. We're happy, of course, to assist in creating those documents. Is there any concern or issue if we use Google Docs for that purpose by any of the working group members or participants? We can always, as an alternative, use the wiki as well if there are any that, for example, don't have access to Google Docs. And, of course, we're also happy to take input and add it as needed.
Let's assume we can. I see a couple of points of support on the use of the Google Docs. If anyone does have concerns with any of the working methods of the group, if they in any way restrict your participation or cause you problems, please let us know. But in the first instance, let's do that. And as you say, Marika, people can put comments in by email if they, for whatever reason, can't or don't feel able to access the Google Docs. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, two brief comments on Google Docs. Number one, there are parts of the world where they literally do not have access to it. And the second one is, if we're going to use Google Docs, we need a tutorial document of some sort. There are some gotchas with it that have hurt people badly who weren't aware of how it works and some of the details that we should make sure everyone is briefed and not assume they're all experienced. Thank you.
Thanks. Good points, both. And I mean, we cannot completely deal with, we can mitigate the issue of access by regularly circulating attachments to emails to the group with the latest version and also allowing people to contribute via the mailing group. But I take your point, and if others have serious concerns or objections with that access, we can deal with it. So I'm going to move us on, as I say, because we've hit the top of the hour and we did start 3 minutes after, but I'd like to be as disciplined as possible in sticking to the time. Now, item 6 and 7 really deal with the practicalities of meeting and how we deal with this. Any of you who are veterans or even relatively experienced in these groups will know the timing of the calls, the dates, the timing, the times, all cause challenges. What we've developed over time is a form of looking at things that say that if it's within a normal working day, and by normal working day in this sense, we have a kind of green zone, which is the call must take place and in fact should be ideally completed within that time frame of 8 to 6 in whatever time zone you're in. That's you're in the green zone. It's reasonable to expect that for the most part you could participate there. Of course, different circumstances exist for different people. Once you get outside of that, on the edges of that, you're in an amber or a yellow zone. And once you get far out of that, you're into a red zone. So we've attempted to do something structured in terms of analyzing the group. It's never perfect, and we may well need to go to rotation. The short outcome of all of that is that initially we proposed to work with a single time slot of 1500 UTC. That will cause some people some problems, and if it has a serious impact on your participation, I'm sure you'll let it be known, and we may well have to move into some form of rotation. But based on that analysis I described, that's the least difficult, and I'm sure it'll work for some, and in fact, as the analysis shows, it works for many, but there will inevitably be some people on the fringes of that for whom it's bad to very bad, and so we need to know from those people. And in particular, what's really important is that they participate initially at the bad times, and we then accommodate them. What we don't want to do is accommodate for people who don't participate. So that's the challenge, and it's always a challenge, and we'll work with you to get that right. The issue of is a day of the week is going to be a challenge. Currently, it's proposed to continue with Thursdays, but that may or may not become an issue of discussion. The other one is how long we do the call for. It feels like 60 minutes is too short. 120 is probably pushing it too long. So we may work with 90 minutes in the first instance. And then there's an issue of frequency, which is, do we work weekly, two-weekly, or even less frequent than that? Experience says we need to meet reasonably frequently to keep the momentum going, but not so frequently that we exhaust people unless we're in some kind of period of necessarily high-intensity working for some form of deadline or whatever the case is. The balance of all of that probably suggests every 2 weeks. And so please feel free to comment on this. There isn't a lot of time now, but if you feel strongly about any of these points, feel free to comment about them on the email or at the next meeting. And what I'm hoping we'll do, and what our discussion with Ching and staff thought we could do is work like this for a few weeks. It's not long until the next ICANN meeting, and perhaps we will try and arrange for at least one meeting at the next ICANN meeting where many of us may be able to participate in person. And we'll do at least a two-hour meeting there, I would think, and then try and we can review at that point. But, of course, we keep an open mind as we go. Are there any... Yeah, I see weekly PSP. Yeah. Yeah, just I see various comments, including a question from Daniel. Daniel, this comment, I think this table was, I think, circulated as an attachment. And it's a crude but relatively effective tool to try and analyze who in the group is in which time zone and how they'll be impacted by any given call at any time of the day. So really what I will end up doing is either continuing with a single time slot that's the best compromise for everyone, or going into a two or three call rotation. And we'll work with one of those. But in the first instance, we'll start with a single time slot, get the group up and running on that, and then look at the possibility of cycling it to two or three. And yeah, I see there's a glitch in there with the EST, PST difference that John Nevis pointed out, but we can get that fixed. All right. That's a whistle-stop tour to get the whole thing up and running. Thanks, everyone, for your participation. I know there wasn't a lot of opportunity to participate in some of the subjects, but we certainly got going once we started to talk about the work of the group, and that's very useful. And so we'll pick this up again in 2 weeks' time, and please make sure you're active on the email list, and we'll look forward to working with you all in the meantime and at the next call. So that's, yes, 9th of February, 15 UTC for the next call, 90 minutes duration. Thank you again.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, all.
Thanks, Alan. We can call.
Thank you, Jonathan. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Operator, you may now stop recordings and disconnect the lines. Have a good day.